tonight, and go with me to Romans chapter 5. Perfecting the saints. Perfecting the saints. I'm glad you're here tonight, Bo. I'm glad to see you tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. So anybody got frostbite or anything like that? You did? Let's stand and read the Word of God tonight, would you please? I met family from Bangladesh, Dhaka. They're the ones that have the coffee. They're growing coffee there. And when you go to graduation over there to Nepal, and hopefully I'm going to try to get over there with you, we're going to make a little trip over to Bangladesh, and we'll go meet them. I think it's good. We've talked about you family all the time we're there, and they're so excited about meeting you. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's an amazing thing. They couldn't get in the country. And so what they did, she is a French chef, bakery, and she knows what she's doing. And he runs kind of like a Starbucks. They have friends that the Top of the World Cafe, and do you know that? Have you been there? Yeah. Well, that's their friend that runs that. So anyway, they got so excited when we started talking. She came back for, she's Sarah's best friend, and came back for the funeral, and stayed at Sarah's, and we were talking last night late, and said something about, well, I said, Nepal's not very far from there. No, she said, we go to Kathmandu for medical reasons, because Bangladesh is way lower than, I said, ooh, that's really scary. All right, Romans chapter 5, and I want you to turn to verse 12. Romans chapter 5, we're perfecting the saints. Today we're going to talk, tonight we're going to, I'm going to preach to you on a thought about Jesus Christ. Now we've talked about God, we've talked about the Holy Spirit, and now I want to talk to you about Jesus. And I'm just going to give you a few things here, and I don't want to keep you late tonight, but I want to talk to you about the first Adam and the second Adam. Of course, Adam, the first Adam, he came in the likeness and image of God. Amen? But he marred that. He marred that. And when Jesus Christ walked on planet Earth, when he came here and was born of a virgin, he came and proved what God really was. And this shows you how far that man can get away from God so quickly. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all... Thank you, Marcia. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And that idea has this idea that they didn't go against God's word to the fact. God said, the first commandment, the first thing that God said to Adam and Eve, you will not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that, you will surely die. And so they did not, quote unquote, do the exact same thing that Adam did. They didn't go and eat out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because it wasn't there anymore. But they still were sinners. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude, it's the same way, of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But Can you turn me down just a little bit? I don't know if it's too loud. Is it too loud for you? Is it just I'm not hearing right? Is it okay, or am I too loud? Okay. Don't touch it. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, what happened? God said, you eat of the tree of knowledge of good, you will surely die. Did they die? Absolutely. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So he is saying that though because of Adam many died, there are many, many who will go to heaven because of Jesus Christ and for his forgiveness of sins. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's sin offense died, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, and anytime you see therefore, you want to know why it's therefore, because he's going to tell you why it's therefore. As by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. For what a terrible thing the head of mankind, our Father, sent sin to all of us. All of us are sinners. And the only way we can get out of it is through repenting through Jesus Christ. It's terrible when a man sins. He usually draws a bunch of people in with him, doesn't he? And look at Adam. Look what he did. Drew us all in. So by obedience of one, many be made righteous. So you've got the negative, and then you've got the positive. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The reason I went to the funeral yesterday is because of this. But thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. And Lord, as we just open our hearts to the Word of God, may we be a help and encouragement. May we live like Jesus. Lord, may I be like Christ. May these folks endeavor to be like Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All of us want to be good. Testimony. I don't know anybody in here doesn't want to be a good testimony. Just some of us. I heard Bob Jones Sr. say yesterday. He says you can't expect a college kid to have the spiritualness and of a man that's been serving God for 50 years. You can't expect a person who just gets saved to just completely lay down everything out of his life and just straight to mark. Now, of course, we preach that. We want that. But you don't see that too much. The Bible talks about us being converted. It's a process. It's kind of like getting an old car and working on it and getting the dings out of it and getting, you know, ripping out the rust and putting the Bondo in it and really working on it and get it going and get that engine all tuned up and maybe pull it out and put new rods and new rings and get it all fixed up like some of you guys do it on base. And a lot of work that some of you guys do. Working something, it's converted. You keep them get better and better and better. Just like our military, our missiles out here. Every once in a while, you'll hear them saying they're coming in and doing upgrades on them. Well, that's conversion. That's conversion. And that's what God expects us. Constantly being converted. Constantly being better. Constantly doing something that works a lot better. My Uncle Johnny, we were home with him, 97 years old. He was talking about the B-17 bomber. And he said, I flew the B-17 bomber G. And that was an upgrade. It had the nose 50 calibers in the front and did some other things to it. Did a lot of things in the cockpit, changed around a lot of things. They were always converting it. The twin engine, I can't remember what it was. It was a twin engine. A lot of people jumped out of it. It was a parachute. What was that? C-47. Turned out to be a DC, whatever. DC-3. And from a military thing to a airlines. They were converted. And God's word tells about that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be converted. We're supposed to change. We should have a good testimony. May I encourage you to say, you know, I want to be like Jesus. But we change a lot of things around here. We change a lot of things at home if we say, I'm going to be like Jesus. When somebody says something mean to us, we take it. We don't get back. Boy, I want to get back. I have this inside of me just wanting to get back. All of it. I haven't met a person who doesn't want to get back. When guy trips you, you want to trip him back. You know, when one guy hits you, you want to hit him back. Some guy smarts off to you, what do you want to do? Smart off back to him, you know. And that is not Christ. That's not Christ. And maybe your husband will say something. And you don't say nothing back to him. Well, why do you want to fight somebody who don't want to fight back? Huh? Old snagglepuss. You know? Says something. Okay, honey. Let's do it that way. And he'll go, whoa. What happened to you? All right. Crazy preacher. He preaching at you, teaching you to do something like that. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be very careful. I've been challenged the last few weeks to be more like Jesus. Today I was walking through the airports. I was thanking people cleaning up. I'm trying to do something I just learned a while back over at Benefits. They were doing some things that if you're in a 10-foot radius, you can talk to people. And this guy was cleaning the things up, and I said, hey! Thanks for doing it. Merry Christmas to you. Well, thank you. He smiled. He walked away. He probably thought, boy, what a goofy guy is, anyway. He don't even know me. I was saying hi to everybody, saying hi to the pilot, saying hi to the policeman. I was having a time. You know what it did to me? It made me feel good. So I want to be like Jesus. I want to really work. And I want Heritage Baptist Church. I'd rather be like Jesus than be the friendliest church. Because if you be like Jesus, you're going to be the friendliest church. Amen. I think a good prayer at home would be, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our home. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our home. I guarantee you ain't going to be fussing and fighting and clamoring. And if you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to, you're welcome in our home. I had a family one time, we came to eat, and I noticed the chair was empty and there were dishes and everything. I mean, they had water and everything. I said, is somebody coming? He said, no, he's already here. I said, oh. He said, this is Jesus' seat at our table. He's always welcome at our table. He's always our unseen guest at our table. That'd be a blessing, amen. So, I want to be like Christ. Well, Adam was not like Christ. Our first Adam, through his sin, he hid some of the things of God. Now remember, Adam was created in the image, created in the in God's own likeness. Therefore, he deliberately took what God told him not to take. He deliberately. The Bible says Eve was what? Deceived, but Adam sinned. So he deliberately did what he knew he shouldn't do. Therefore, he marred the image that we, as his children, were supposed to see how God was in his image and his likeness. Would you agree with that? So that's why you and I run around like our father Satan, the deceiver, dishonest, mean, ornery, cantankerous. I want it my way or hit the doorway. I want it what I want. I was challenged. I was reading some things. Dr. Chappell, he was talking about Christmas, and he was saying about how that this year, he says, why don't you get off and say, you know what? Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And by the way, December, be real. In 2013, December is be real in worship. And let's really worship the Son, Jesus Christ. I read a letter from Mrs. Springer, missionary to Papua New Guinea. Went over by her house, by herself, and started a work, and many people came to Christ because of her. Nobody go with her, nobody help her. And she went into the jungles and just, but she wrote in her Christmas letter, and I was reading it the other day, and she said, I wish that I could be back in Papua New Guinea, because when we were back in Papua New Guinea, it was all about Jesus. It wasn't about presents. It wasn't about running here and running there. It was about Jesus. And a missionary over there, she said, if you wanted to have Christmas with your family, you had to do it after Christmas, because it was all about Jesus at Christmas time for those nationals. I remember Dave Sprunger and his family went over to Barbados at 6 o'clock in the morning. Church started on Christmas Day. And they had Christmas all day. They didn't have their little frivolities and their football games. It was worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can thank your first father, Adam, for ruining your image of Jesus Christ, of God. You can say he ruined the similitude of Jesus, of God, by going against the first thing. Hey, it wasn't hard. He gave him a beautiful garden. It wasn't cold. It was just exactly the way it should be. Everything they wanted was there, but yet they had to have something more. And you know what, folks? If you live a life that you always got to have something more, you're going to have a hard life. You're going to have a really hard life. He marred the image of God that God intended him to show forth to his children. I'm one of his children. So are you. Do you see the image of God in me? Do you see the image of God in you? Children, teenager, do you see God's image in you? What you do, what you say, where you go? Could people say, boy, that's a true image of Jesus? Or could you say, I'm kind of embarrassed. I hope Jesus don't show up at this thing. Oh, I hate to tell you. He's always there. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. We like that when troubles come, but when we're out there in frivolity and craziness and in this world, we really don't want to think much about Jesus, because we know that it would be a downer. We know that it would be a time that people, you know, that we would be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in your life ought to proclaim, I am like Jesus. Now, I want to perfect the saints tonight. I want to hone you. I want to sharpen your hearts. I want you to get to the point in your life and say, you know what? I want to get in on that bus, and I want to ride that bus saying, I'm like Jesus. I want to get on that ship. I want to get on an airplane. That's where I want to be. I want to throw the world behind, and I want to serve Jesus. It'll change your life. Change your attitude. Change your way of life. Boy, I just got to have this. I got to have this. I got to have this. Give me. We're all guinea pigs, amen. And for Christmas, you know, hey, I heard the family's in some financial trouble. And I talked to a man in the airport. I knew the guy from years ago. And I was sitting there and trying to get everything done. He comes up and bothers me for the next half hour. Get away from me. I want to read this. And but I was like Jesus. I said, just come on. And he was telling about this family. He said, yeah, they always got trouble. And he just downed them. I mean, just put them down. I said, you know, I said, thank God for poor people. And he looks at me. I said, thank God for poor people. That means we who have something always got a place we can be malevolent and be like Jesus. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever spent a lot of money on some toys and to end a Christmas, they were just a piece of junk? Yeah, all of us would raise your hand. Do you think there's some people outside here that need some help? We're driving through, going to the funeral yesterday. I noticed a little sign on the corner. It says, for single mothers, free oil change. Saturday, First Baptist Church, Greenville, South Carolina. Here's the phone number. Call us. I said, yeah, that's Christmas. That's Christmas. Hey, does anybody know how to change oil here? Yeah, you don't want to raise your hand because, oh, yeah, he preaches on it. How many know how to change oil? Sure, all of us know. Most of us guys know how to change oil. You know? So, why not be a part of our community? He said, they'll never come to our church. That's not what you're doing it for. If that's what you're doing it for, if that's why you're going soul winning, because they're going to come to your church, you're going for the wrong reason. You're going there to tell people about Jesus Christ whether they come here or not. Because it's commanded you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel if they come to your church. I don't see that. Maybe you got one of those funny Bibles. I don't have that in my Bible. Our job, our responsibility, is to glorify the Heavenly Father. How better can you glorify the Heavenly Father than to have babies? Spiritual babies, winning people to Jesus Christ. Good for you. That's probably mine over there making that noise. What's really bad is when you have it up in the bulkhead and you forgot to turn it off and it's ringing. But that's not good. What are we here for? Are we here for me? Hey, that's what you're here for? You? Are you here for Jesus Christ? Why did God make us? Go back to the beginning. He made us to glorify the Heavenly Father. Amen? Jesus said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God said, I am here to do my Father's will. Just trying to sharpen you. Just trying to perfect you and start, get all of this idea that, oh man, I just know what I want for Christmas. Why don't you look around and say, I saw something tonight. I wrote it down. You might have saw me write it down. I saw something. I'm going to take care of it. I see somebody in need. It's more blessed to than. I heard one guy say that. Yeah, I said, more blessed to give and receive. Good. I said, it makes me happy. You give and I'll take. But anyway. Adam muddied the water, that we would see Jesus Christ, see God in Adam. We did not see the Trinity in Adam. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Adam was created in the likeness. The world wants to make Adam's likeness a fish, or amoeba, or a monkey, or an alligator climbing out of the water. No, that's not what Adam was. Adam was a man. And those teachers at your school that are telling you that you came from the Big Bang and whatever else, ask them this question. Were you there? Because I've got a book of someone who was there. His name is God. And he said, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Secondly, the world wants to make Adam a fish. Three, but God carefully, in his grand finale of creation, what did he do? He created mankind. And he confirmed that man was made by him out of dust of the ground. I was reading a commentary on that, and it means out of red ground. Must have been a red man. A red clay. Amen. Take that to your bank and deposit it. Amen. He created him with incredible intelligence. He named all the animals. She's waiting for you, brother. She's been crying, sobbing. Oh, yeah. That's a lot easier today than it was a week ago, wasn't it? So, Adam is created not as just a blob or a like Fred Flintstone, yabba-dabba-doo and all that other stuff, you know. I like Bam Bam. She's my favorite. But anyway, but you think of that incredible intelligence. What do you name something you've never seen before? Now, Lewis and Clark, they did that. They named some things. But they used other people's name to name them, amen? You got the Franklin squirrel. Named all the animals. The Bible said God formed those animals and said to Adam, what's the name? You know what that means? God says, you're in charge of this place. He said, I'm making you to have dominion over this world. You have dominion. You are the leader. You are the superintendent. You are the one who's most sure take care of these things. Amen. Isn't that incredible? God didn't say, I'm going to take care of them. He said, you're going to take care of them. You're going to name them. You're going to have dominion over them. That's not a Stone Age blockhead, amen? That's chiseling the wheel out, amen? Painting hieroglyphics on the walls. He was an intelligent, incredibly intelligent man. And he even got smarter. He got a wife, amen? When God created her, he woke Adam up and he goes, whoa, man! All right, that's how we got the name woman. He created him with incredible intelligence. God gave him dominion over all the beasts. Adam was created, listen now, he was created morally good. In fact, God says it's very good. God does not make junk. He made man incredibly wise and morally straight. But once sin entered in, it all broke loose, didn't it? Remind of the little lady in our church, she went away to rest home. I was up asking people. I said, what's the first thing you do when you get to heaven? And all the ladies said, and she said, I'm going to go up and whack Eve. All the trouble she's given me. So God gave him the dominion over the beast, and Adam was created morally good. Morally good. There is strength in the covenant of grace for us. Sin shall not have dominion. I love that. God promised to us a more powerful and effectual to mortify sin than our promises to God. God said, I will tell you, I will give you strength. But we promise God, Lord, I won't do that. But His promise is so much greater than ours. And then when we fail, we have a great God that says, you're forgiven. When we do not meet up to the expectation that we find in the Word of God, God says, I know your frame, it's but dust. I know what I made you out of. I don't know about you, but that sure gives me hope. When I fail, when I do things wrong, when I say things wrong, when I fix things wrong, and there's always that iniquity, that spirit of iniquity, this mystery of iniquity just comes over me every once in a while. And you do too. Don't look at me like that doesn't happen to you. Yes, you do. And you kind of like, where did all that come from? God said, I want you to know that I'm here to forgive you. Aren't you glad about that? What a blessing. Far so wonderful. You can't even explain it, what God does for us. Sin is something terrible. The effectual, the powerfulness that God gives us to mortify our sin. Sin may struggle, be a struggle in a believer's heart. Sin may be a struggle in the believer's heart and create him a great deal of trouble. But it will not have dominion over us unless we allow it. You can break the habit. You can say, no, I'm not doing that again. Because God said, I will be with you. I will keep you from that. I will give you dominion over that. It may vex him, but it shall not rule over him. Shall any take occasion from the encouraging doctrine to allow themselves to practice the forms of sin? People say, well, hey, I'll get over it. God will get over it. God doesn't see it. Boy, that's pretty tough. Far as much abominable thoughts, so contrary to the profession of God and the design of the gospel, so opposed to being under grace. What can be a stronger motive against the love of Christ? Shall we sin against so much goodness and such love? How can I do that? How can I keep doing that? How can I keep going away from what God has for me? How can I keep not serving God in a right way? How can I keep literally putting my fist to God and saying, I'll do what I want to do? How can I do that? To a God that loves me so much, who gives me salvation. I'll tell you what. You go to a funeral. I usually do the preaching at a funeral. This time I just sat and watched. And I looked at my friend who laid in the casket. A good man. And I'll tell you what, it just reminded me how frail and fragile life really is. I was reading a book by Charles Spurgeon. It's called "Just Studies on Students." Lectures to My Students. And he was speaking there and he said, when a man comes to hear me preach, I must give him everything I have because I do not know that if this is not the last time he'll ever hear the Word of God or ever hear about confessing his sin and getting right with God or even salvation. Therefore, he said, I must be on my, and I would say on my game. We don't understand that like that, like Grizz weren't the other day, but anyway. Be on my great game. So that it would encourage us to say, you know what, I want to be like Jesus. I hope that every one of us tonight says, I want to be like Jesus. I'm tired with this world. I know it doesn't work. I know the stuff that I've been trying to do. It doesn't work if I just would be for Jesus. And our attitudes and our walk and our life with our family and life with our children and life with our parents. Just be more like Jesus. I was sitting in the Delta Club there tonight. And I was sitting here and they have some, they have some olives and crackers and cheese. And I was sitting there, I had a little Coke Zero when I was drinking that. And I was all by myself. All of a sudden, here comes a couple in. And they plop right down in front of me. Plop from here to you. And this woman starts saying, and the man says to his wife, he says, I assume it's his wife, says, aren't you going to let that go? Aren't you going to just forgive her? And she says, absolutely not. And in the conversation, it sounded like, I'm going to make her pay for that. And he says, you know, wouldn't it be better if you just let it alone and just go on with life? And he said, no, I'm not going to let it alone. And they kept that. It made me so uncomfortable. I got up and went over and sat over here where I couldn't hear him anymore. I thought, you dirty buzzard. I'm thinking about heaven. I'm thinking about church. I'm thinking about my friend's death. I'm thinking about the family that he left. And they're there griping and says, I'm not going to forgive them. And I'm going to say, I almost said something, but I, you know, sometimes you shouldn't say things. Do you know what I mean? I wish they would ask me. What do you think about that? I think you're wicked. And God hates that. I just read in Proverbs the other day how that God hates those that stir up strife. God just despises when we think we're proud and all that. Well, that woman was proud. She said, I'll make her pay. Well, I thought, boy, I don't want to be around that stuff. You know, a lot of us are around a lot of that stuff at work. There's some people who get it out for you. Family members. You go home for a family reunion or something. What a precious time we had with our family. No fussing, no griping, no complaining. It was sweet fellowship. And that's what it ought to be. And when we start thinking about certain things, first of all, it's because we want our way, and we are going to have it our way or else. We're going to make sure that we let them all know that we're mad. And it's not fair to us and all that. See, all it is pride.
Yep.
Somebody said something to me the other day and I didn't like it. And all of a sudden I said, wait a minute, why don't I like that? They're trying to correct me. Did you know maybe somebody could correct you? I was just reading, like I said, I was reading Spurgeon. Spurgeon says, I had a guy in my church. He'd come up and correct me all the time because of my enunciation of the scriptures. Or saying the same illustration more than once. And he said, boy, he says, it just got my goat. But then he said, you know what? Because of what he said to me, I studied my scripture a little better, and it made me better. And he said, you know, sometimes somebody may come up to you and offer a suggestion to you. And you think you're far too superior for someone to tell you that you're wrong. Wrong answer. They may be telling you the truth, and maybe the Bible says when a man tells another person that he's wrong, a wise man listens to that, and a foolish man, he really hates you. So, if you're told something and you don't like it, guess what God calls you? Now, perfecting the saints. Let's perfect our saints to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. They reviled him, he reviled not. Husband comes home, says something to you. I mean, he's got cat scratches all over his face. You're climbing up his back and going down in front. Beating scars. And you're saying things that he'll never be able to take back. The next time it happens, you say the same things. And then you'll remind them, I don't think that's what Jesus did. I wish you'd say in your heart right now, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to perfect you tonight and say, hey, I want a Jesus church here. I'm not talking about a funky church without California, the Jesus freaks and all that kind of stuff. And you wear pants that are falling off and your kneecaps are showing. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that Jesus freak stuff. I'm talking about the pure Son of God who never did one thing wrong, who lived a virtuous, perfect life and kept the Ten Commandments. Wow. And then I want you to go home tonight and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our home. You're welcome in our home. And if one of somebody talks out of line, just say it again. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our home. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us. Help us to be more like you. Lord, you came. You showed man what it truly was to be like God, because you were God. You had righteous indignation for those things that are wrong. You were willing to stand up and tell that what was right. And you said that we'll all suffer persecution. And we live in a world of troubles and sorrows. But Lord, help us to have that faith and realize that you're always with us. And you'll get us through those things. Troubles come and heartaches come all of a sudden. It burdens us. But we go to you and say, Lord God, I'm just trying to live like you. And you've got to help me with these burdens. I don't know which way to turn. Speak to my heart. Head your bowed eyes, your clothes, you're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Would you lift your hand right now and say, preacher, I want Jesus to be my Savior. You're here tonight and say that. Can you say that tonight? I want Jesus to be my Savior. You can't be like Jesus unless he lives within you. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I want to be like Jesus. I mean, that's walking and talking. And you say, but preacher, what if I fail? It's better to do something and fail than never do anything at all. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the musicians as they start playing. Let's all stand. You're here tonight. You know what to do. There's plenty of room up here. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, there's some things I need to get taken care of. There's some things. I want to be like Jesus. I want people to choose me of being like Jesus. Why don't you come? Fall on Christ before God and say, that's what I want. That's what I need. I want to be like Jesus. I'll tell you what, it'll change your life. It'll change your attitude. Yes, it will. People at work, they'll say, good night, what's going on with this guy? What in the world has she got? Shouldn't yell anymore. Doesn't scrap anymore. He doesn't get mad, slam the door. Just does his thing. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Hey, teenagers, you want to be like Jesus? He said, well, I got too much to lose. You got too much to lose not to be like Jesus. You come. Plenty of time.